It's been a minute since we've done one of these traveling episodes.
A mobile app.
What's funny is that the country, everybody's supposed to be staying in and not traveling, and you and I are literally traveling right now.
We are, and honestly, I've been traveling all week because my job won't stop. I'm like, guys, are we just pretending like this isn't happening?
Yeah.
No, just go do your job, man. I'm like, okay.
So Thomas and I are on our way to a wedding. We are actually the wedding band for somebody's wedding.
Wedding. It's just so, like, I love that this is happening, but it's definitely, like, it's also, my heart hurts a little bit for this couple who we love because they've been planning a wedding with all their friends and everyone.
Yeah.
At a place, and then this week it was like,
the whole country shut down.
We can't do it. So we're, you know, they changed the whole location and now it's 20 people instead of 200. And
in case it's like, in case you are going back in time and listening to the archives of the Ancient and New podcast and you're listening in like 2043, right now it's March 21st, 2020. We are right smack dab in the middle of the coronavirus COVID-19 deal and everything in this country is changing minute by minute.
Mm-hmm. I had that thought today. This is like, we haven't even done like our intro yet.
Yeah.
But I was thankful for that today. Like, our world is minute to minute right now. For the first time maybe ever, it's not weeks, months.
Right.
It's like, I literally can only live today because I don't know what's going to, going to be like.
Nobody knows what the next
day is
going to be.
I had a moment today where I was just thanking the Lord for things. And it's like, He put that on my heart to thank Him for, because I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm giving no thought to tomorrow because I literally have no idea what tomorrow is going to be like. And it felt like
that's so fun.
A little thing to thank Him for.
Well, so we're on our way to a wedding, and one of the things that we were thinking about was, like, what are some weird wedding experiences that you've had? And this is interesting because, okay, so we're the wedding band. I'm going to be playing mandolin, and Thomas is going to be playing guitar at a wedding. The last time I played the mandolin at a wedding, I played a bourée, which is a dance by Johann Sebastian Bach that was written for the cello, but I was playing it at this couple's wedding, and the wedding was on a riverboat.
Mm.
Now, it might be one of those things where you would think, like, oh man, getting married on a boat. I bet that's so cool. And like, in certain ways it kind of is, you know, because it's like, yeah, it's kind of romantic. You're out in the water and everything. But the thing that you don't calculate is the fact that, like, when you get ready to leave the wedding, like, if you're a person who leaves weddings kind of early, you can't.
Right. Which is definitely, like, Tom Job would be in so much trouble. Tom and Tina, they go to the ceremony and then
bounce hard.
They'll just, like, give me a wink, like, see ya.
Yeah.
And they're out.
They're out.
They ain't staying for food, cake, dancing.
That he's never heard the Cupid Shuffle one time, and he's been to more weddings than anybody.
Gosh, it's amazing. I remember I went to a wedding when I was like 7, maybe, on this big farm. It was just beautiful. It was one of my cousins, and I just, like, it's a farm with all the stuff on there. So, you know, the cows, the horses, the goats, all the stuff. And in the middle of it, I saw for the first time a horse pee.
If you've never seen that before, that's really something.
It's like, I mean, holy cow. It was so, like, I just remember I was with my other cousin and we were just like, oh my gosh.
Direct your attention.
It was, holy cow.
Speaking of peeing at weddings, at Sam Bingham's wedding, there was this moment where, I guess Cam and Jack were like 7 years old and 6 years old or something like that.
Yeah, that was 2017.
Okay, so
maybe 2016.
So maybe they were maybe 2017. Maybe they were 8 and 7.
That was the hottest day in the world's history.
It was really hot. But so we're in this kind of barn with this big open area, and Cam really had to go pee, and so he was like, I'm gonna pee over here in the woods. You guard me. And so Cam is facing the woods, and Jack is standing right in front of Cam with his arms out, facing the wedding.
Just drawing all the attention possible. Like, if Jack stood there and just, like, whistled and looked at the ground, nobody's going to... But his arms are out.
His arms are out. He's literally trying to make himself as big as he can, like he's fending off a bear. And the wedding photographer caught it. Just like, it's such a great picture. Like, Cam is looking back over his shoulder, back turned, and then Jack is standing in front of him, guarding him. It's just this great little moment of friendship.
That... Oh, that's amazing. I remember at... Was it Cam and Savannah's wedding? When I... Savannah's grandmother... My friend Savannah's grandmother...
Bunwai.
Is a super sweet lady, fantastic chef. Got on one of the last helicopters leaving Vietnam during the Vietnam War to like, become a U.S. citizen. Like, an amazing story.
Incredible.
And I've spent... Like, I've been fortunate to spend a lot of time with her and their family over the past, like, decade. And we slow danced to Pony by Ginuwine. And it was just, like, 30 people around us watching it happen.
One of the best things that happens at weddings that I've just been able to witness it several times is that our sweet, dear, mutual friend, Austin Witt, who is, like, just low-key one of the best dancers I know. Mm. If you were just hanging out with him, you wouldn't be like, I peg that guy as, like, one of the best dancers ever. But he can straight go off.
Oh, man.
But what happens is that, like, he doesn't have a dimmer switch on his dancing. Like, either he is calm, collected, and talking to you about, like, the smartest things ever, because he's, like, one of the smartest people ever. He just got matched to Duke's, like, residency program. He's just finished med school. Wow. The guy's brilliant. But, like, so he's either, like, calm, collected, and being smart, or, like, if he flips the switch to dancing, he's just a straight maniac.
Right.
And every wedding, at some point during the dancing, he goes so hard that he splits his pants.
Oh, it's like known by name at Joseph A. Bank.
Yeah, he has to walk in and they're like, oh, you went to another wedding? We're restitching these bad boys. Welcome to Ancient.
Oh, wait, I had one more.
Oh, go.
I just was really...
Don't
I
welcome
just thought
yet.
Of
You're
this.
You're not welcome yet.
You're not welcome. Leave. No, just kidding. But at Rob and Aaron's wedding, our friend Rob, who does a lot of times does our social media content.
Oh, yeah. He's executive producer.
Yeah, I got in this corner with Austin White, who we refer to a lot on here.
Also a very good dancer. A
fantastic dancer. But he also, I mean... When the right song is on.
You know what I was about to say? I was about to say, all of our friends who are named Austin are great dancers.
They are.
And I remembered Austin Morgan.
Austin
Morgan. No, great
dancer. There's no way he's a good dancer. But Austin White is a fantastic.
Wonderful man.
Austin White is fantastic. And when, like, you get the right song on.
Oh, my gosh.
He just gets in his zone, doesn't care who's around him is watching, which is, like, one of my favorite things about
Sometimes
him.
Sometimes he just goes shirtless.
Yeah, and just, like, dancing. At one point, he was dancing with a door frame. Like, I just... I just watched. Me and his wife were just watching. But, like, my favorite part of the whole wedding is our friend Devin Rodriguez put his tie around his forehead.
Yes.
Like a headband.
Yes.
And, like, you know, I think that's, like, a pretty recognizable symbol for someone who's had too much to drink.
Right.
And after the, you know, a few weeks later when the photos came out, he's like, man, people keep texting me about how hammered I was at that wedding. And he was like, I didn't have a drink. And I was like, bro,
just the joy of the
what
Lord.
Are you joking right now? Like, he's like, why do people think that? And I was like, look at the pictures of you. That's like, that's today's version of a lampshade. Just a floral tie tied around your head.
That's right.
Okay, now you
just
can
full
be.
Full of the joy of the Lord. Welcome to
Now
H&M.
You can be welcome.
We are so glad that you're here with us. We, for the season of Lent, we're looking at pictures in the Old Testament that foreshadow the cross. We're talking about Jesus and how he suffered for us and what he did for us on the cross, and just places in the Old Testament that signaled or looked forward to that.
I will say, if you're out there and you're saying, do these people think they're above, like, world protocol right now and they're not social distancing each other? I think we have been around each other every day for months. So if you've got it, I've got it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, we are following protocol. We are following hygiene recommendations, CDC recommendations. this wedding that we're going to, we're not just like, they're not just like going forward inviting everybody to the wedding.
Right.
The only reason we are going, it's like the, it's like Devin Accardi, who's officiating the wedding, the couple, their most immediate family, and us, just because we're the music.
Right. Outdoors.
Yeah.
So.
When we're a band, are we going to be 6 feet apart?
Of course.
Okay.
Well, right now we're 6 inches apart, so. Probably not when we're a band. We're not singing on the same mic.
We are going to look at a place in the book of Leviticus in chapter 14. And this is not going to seem like a very relevant thing at first. It's not going to seem like it's really about the cross. But I really, really think this was a picture of the cross. And Jesus makes mention of it in Mark chapter 1 in one of the most familiar miracles when he heals a leper. But this is the old Levitical sacrifice for people who have been healed of a skin disease.
Wow.
Leviticus chapter 14. The Lord said to Moses, "These are the regulations for the diseased person at the time of his ceremonial cleansing when he is brought to the priest. The priest is to go outside the camp and examine him. If the person has been healed of his infectious skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the one to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it, together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, the hyssop, into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. 7 times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the infectious skin disease and pronounce him clean. Then he is to release the live bird into the open fields." Wow.
Hmm.
So, real quick, one of the things that's so cool is that in Mark chapter 1, this leprous guy comes up to Jesus, and he's the one who says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, like, in other words, "I know you can heal me. I don't know if you would want to. Nobody wants to be around me." And Jesus says, "I'm willing." And he reached out his hands and touched the guy. And immediately he was cleaned, he was cleansed, he was healed. And Jesus said to him, now, this is like the very last couple of verses in Mark chapter 1, "Go to the priests and get them to do this sacrifice. Offer the sacrifice that Moses lined out and do this one." He's talking about Leviticus chapter 14. And it says that instead, the guy just went around and told everybody what Jesus did. So he did not do what Jesus right. asked him to do. And there's this thing where whenever I read Mark chapter 1, I'm like, oh man, you would have learned something so unique and so cool about Jesus and about the cross if you had just done exactly what Jesus said.
What do you mean?
Okay, so if he had just said, okay, Jesus is telling me to go to the temple and go to the priests and offer the sacrifice, I'm gonna go. So it's this really weird sacrifice where the priest takes, he has like a certain equipment that he needs. He needs a clay pot or clay bowl. He needs some fresh water. He needs a little block of cedar wood. He needs some scarlet yarn and a knife and 2 birds. All right? So assemble all those ingredients. He takes one of the birds and ties its wings around its body with the scarlet yarn so it can't fly away. So it's just sitting there. Then he takes the knife and he takes the other bird and he slits its throat and mixes the blood with the fresh water in the clay pot. Then he puts the cedar wood down in the blood and water, lays the dead bird aside, and takes the living bird, the one that's all bound up, and he dips it inside the blood and water of the bird who died with the wood and blood and water. And someone dead and someone who's bound up
and hyssop.
And then he takes his knife and he cuts the scarlet yarn, that's the scarlet string that's tied up that other bird, and then lets it go. And as it's flapping its wings, it's all covered in the blood and in the blood and water of the one who died. And it's flying away into freedom with the blood of an innocent sacrifice just flying out all over the place. And the the leprous guy, who used to be a leper and he's now healed, if he had just done that, he would have been like, wow, that is a weird ceremony. But then think about, like, a couple years later when Jesus died.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute. Wood and blood and water. I mean, which is exactly what John said when he watched Jesus die. He said, right. I was there. Blood and water came out. You know, and it's like an innocent one dies, and I, the one who was bound, I am free to go. Like, what? That is such a mind-blowing and cool picture. Mm. And he would have gotten to experience and learn and see all that, but instead he just didn't.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's so funny because it's you just retold the story, but you did it in a very beautiful, illustrative way.
Thank you.
It's so clear now, and it's so sweet. All the symbolism in there, the idea of something being tied up and then being free, just and like. I know it's funny. We talked about the animal things last week.
Yeah.
And Matthew Reese texted me. He sent me a screenshot of like a conversation he had with his friend who's a scientist who like explained like more developed brains probably have some emotions of animals, but other ones don't. So it was impressive. But like if that bird could feel that way, like it was moments away. Like, it could have been the one that was chosen, you know, to be...
That 18-wheeler almost hit us.
I know, really close.
We almost died.
But, like, you know, I don't know if the bird has the ability to process that, but there's two birds there, and, like, it sees its friend died. And it could have been the one that was picked up, and it wasn't. And then it gets to be free. But, like, just... Also, what an illustration of sin in our life. Like,
exactly.
What it's like to be bound by it, literally bound by it, to be wrapped up and not to be able to fly and to, like, let your wings breathe and to do what you're supposed to do. You know, like, a bird that can't fly.
Yes.
I've been watching these documentaries and, like, rockhopper penguins, like, they're amazing in the water.
Yeah.
And then where they mate, they have to, like... literally hop up these cliffs, and it is sad to watch because they fall, they get pushed off because they don't, their wings are useless in that process. They have their little paddly feet to do all that. And like, same, like, to be a bird that can't fly must be like the worst thing ever. And then you think about us held down by sin. It's, that's what we are. Like, we are already broken and in a fallen world, and we're not to our full potential. But we're super not when we're not washed in the blood of Jesus. That's which right. is amazing.
Yeah, there is... It's so interesting because, like, the only thing that they really understood about leprosy was they just thought it was, like, this is just a disease of the skin. And, of course, thanks to Dr. Paul Brand, who's now in heaven, we now know that it was actually a disease of the nerves that you... When someone has leprosy, they literally can't feel anything. And so they can't feel injury. So they don't protect themselves from infection. And so different bodily systems break down because they don't feel things they're supposed to feel. They don't feel pain. And pain is a good thing. Pain signifies that something needs to change so that you can protect and heal. And they don't heal. And so they just break down faster. And so someone that was leprous, it was just like infection and injury and everything would just wreak havoc on their system. And what an unbelievably clear picture of what sin does to the heart. Like sin makes us not be able to feel normally. It makes us not be able to, I just don't feel what I'm supposed to. You know, not only am I not spreading my wings and flying the way I should, but I don't even feel normal things the way I should when I'm all bound up with sin. And just the concept of like someone paying for you and so you can actually be free from sin so that you can actually start to have a human heart that feels and responds the way it was intended to, that is so freeing and so beautiful. That's such a sweet thing. And I mean, obviously, like, I'm not like sinless or anything like that, but in knowing Jesus, I have felt more... This is an odd thing to say, but, like, more and more I feel human.
Yeah.
Like, human the way I was made to feel.
Right.
You know? And
that's exactly right.
Yeah, and so it's like, he has taken my death so that I can be what I was always supposed to be, which is a human. A human is someone who lives in a relationship. A human was always supposed to be someone who lives freely in a relationship with the living God and has a heart that feels joy and pleasure and fullness and satisfaction and all those things. And sin causes me to feel none of those things. Mm-hmm. Causes me to be bound. I'm a flightless bird. And so this is such an exciting picture. And it's just like, it's so interesting because there's a part of me that wonders, like, when this was first instituted, when the Lord is telling Moses this, and then Moses is telling the priests, and then they, you know, they have it written down in Leviticus, this is the way we're supposed to do this sacrifice. Was anybody ever like, okay, I know that animal sacrifices are symbolic of something, I guess, but like, what's the wood about?
Right.
You know, that feels like a very random thing on the other side of the cross.
Right.
It's easy for us to look at that now and go, wow, this is what an amazing thing that you would, that Lord, you put that as part of the sacrifice, that there's this little plank of cedar wood that's all wrapped up with the blood and the water and the death of the innocent for the freedom of the guilty, you know, mm-hmm. or the freedom of the bound. But I wonder for them if they're like, okay, I get the rest of it. We'll do it. But like, what's with the wood?
Right. And that's such a cool, like, this whole thing is a great, like, if we would have left it without the wood, it would still be an incredible image of the cross.
Yeah.
But the fact that that's in there is such a fun little, like, spoiler/Easter egg, you know, like,
that's a great word.
It's just so funny and it's so sweet of the Lord. And it must have been so hard and so confusing for someone at that time. But it made, you know, but at the same time, it was what they were asked to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't imagine doing any of these things. I can't imagine doing any of the animal sacrifices they did. As someone who loves animals, it would just be devastating, I think, to kill a lamb, to kill a bull, to kill a ram, to kill a little bird. That, like, I was at my... in my kitchen window today, looking out the window at my bird feeder that I have beside my garden, and a dove flew down and started eating on it. And I had that, I recited that thing from the Gospel of John where it talked about, or is it John, where the Spirit of the Lord descended on him like a dove? Or is that what he says?
In Matthew, the baptism of Jesus.
Yeah, in the baptism of Jesus. And it was just like a sweet image, and the thought of taking that thing that I baited into eating at my house and killing it because I'm a sinful person is really hard. It's hard for me to think about. And I'm super thankful I don't. I become more and more thankful all the time that I'm on this side of the cross, you know?
Yeah.
Which I don't, you know, the Lord could have had me enter this world whenever or never. But I'm really glad that I did where I am now. And that does nothing to help anyone spiritually right now, but I've felt that way lately. It's been a thing that I've been thankful for.
There's one of the things that I always wonder about this little story, the one in Mark chapter 1, which of course plays back to Leviticus 14, is when the Lord had Moses put this in the law, did it ever happen? Like, did anybody ever get healed of an infectious skin disease before this? Was the whole point of this? Did they have this on the books because the Lord knew that Jesus was going to come and actually heal impossible to heal skin diseases? Like, is this one of those things where, like nobody ever got healed of leprosy, and then all of a sudden Jesus shows up?
Right.
The Almighty God in the person of the Son. And is this it?
That's where we always
this where you go fishing?
Right there. The water's not that high,
though. It's so beautiful out here. We're driving through Norris and it's so pretty. But like, so all of a sudden Jesus shows up and he's healing people, and it's like the priests would have to look this up because they've never done it.
Right.
Generations and generations of priests have never offered this sacrifice. I don't know if I'm right about that, but there's a curiosity in me that says, like, oh man, I wish that guy that Jesus healed had said, like, all right, I'm gonna go. And they had to like, oh crap, what do we do? Look up what chapter is it in? And some, you know, some tryhard was like, it's in chapter 14.
Right.
You know, and then they look it up and then they do the sacrifice. And it's like, what if that whole thing was there for that one guy? And of course he didn't do it. But that is, it's just such a sweet thought that the Lord not only would put that Easter egg in there, that kind of movie trailer, but the idea that it would never happen even at all until Jesus showed up.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. This is such a cool, I love this exercise that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
It's so.
Me too.
It's just, not that we need any more evidence for how creative our God is, but it is a cool other little thing. That's like, he's the greatest story writer of all time. You know, he's the greatest author ever. To put something in the fourth book of the Bible, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Yeah. The third book of the Bible that is brought up again in the second book of the New Testament thousands of years later.
Right.
And, you know, who knows if, I don't know. I wonder if this is the thing him and Nicodemus talked about. Nicodemus was like, you know, or like whatever, just,
yeah.
It's such a cool thing. I wonder how many dots were connected and stuff like this.
I just love picturing the kind of the wink or twinkle in Jesus's eye as he's saying to this guy, like, hey, go to the priests.
Right.
I've got something for you.
Mm.
And the thing that's exciting about that little thought is, and we've talked about this idea before, but like, if we would just do the things Jesus is asking us to do, what does he want to teach us?
Right.
What does he want to show us?
Right. And there's also a thing too, that's like, that guy, I don't have, there's no evidence of this except that I just believe that it's true, but he didn't disobey the Lord directly and then get his skin disease back. You know, like, he was set free from it.
Right.
He went and did the opposite of what he was asked, but he was still free from it. And, you know, that's kind of encouraging
just
to me.
Yeah, it's the sweetness of Jesus. And it's like, you can go look up Leviticus 14. You can see what I was going to show you.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, folks. Today's podcast has been brought to you by Bun Y,
Reagan and Sebastian, who are about to be married.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah.
We're excited to be here to celebrate with y'all. Again, we're day-to-day, so we're trying to find creative ways to record the podcast. Hopefully, we'll still be able to do this.
There's a... If you are not someone who goes to Christ Community Church, we are almost daily putting out content just to stay encouraged, because this is a weird and confusing time in the world, and can be frightening and all kinds of stuff. So if you need things to be encouraged with, check out Facebook.
And we website. Have a brand new YouTube page where we're putting out videos. All right.
All that stuff.
I'm Lee.
We are at the wedding. I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New. Come ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded heart, here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Joy of the desert.
has no sorrow but heaven.